There's no way you could orchestrate something like this if we tried. The message that I feel God has placed on my heart fits so perfectly with everything that has already went on in this service. They had no idea what I was going to preach. They didn't know what songs they were picking out. But I believe God works and orchestrates things in ways that are beyond us. And I believe he confirms his word in many different ways. And I feel like God's not done in this service yet. I do feel like I have something to bring forth. I believe that God has given me something, but don't think that God is done with this service yet. I believe the more we were playing this and the more things were going on, and I was going over this in my head today, I feel like this is for some specific people today. I believe it's for everybody, but I believe that God has sent me to tell somebody in here a specific message today. And I'm going to start with Psalms chapter 30, verse 11. I'll give you just a second to turn there, or if you're writing notes, I'll give you a second to write that down. But Psalms chapter 30, verse 11, and then we'll be moving to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. So Psalms chapter 30, verse 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, and then I will have some more scriptures later on. But starting in Psalms, it says, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth, and you have clothed me with gladness." In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 4, it says, "A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." And so I want to bring you the message today, mourning into dancing. Mourning into dancing. And Brother Roberts was preaching a little bit on this, and I was afraid he was going to preach my sermon. But I believe these both are going to be tied in today with what's been going on at this church. So you may go ahead and be seated today. And if you will just bear with me, I have two parts to this message. And the first one's going to be a little bit of teaching, and then we're going to end up with some preaching, and then we're just going to see what God does. Because I believe something great is going to happen at the end of this service today. Mourning is a common topic throughout the Old and the New Testament. And to fully understand these two verses that talk about mourning and about dancing, we must first examine what mourning means in a biblical sense. We start in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, mourning was often associated with the loss of a friend or a relative. Mourning was actually a part of the burial and the grieving process. And if you go and you study the cultures and the ceremonies of the Old Testament, mourning was actually a part of that process. They had a whole ritual around that. And upon the news of a death being delivered, people would usually tear their garments. It talks about they would rent their garments, or they would tear their garments. They would remove their shoes, and they would either partially or fully cover their face. And as the custom for that day, the men usually had beards, and they would cover those as well. And so you can imagine somebody finding out about a death of a close friend or a relative, and just this thing that they would start to do. And there are scriptures that mention that in addition to this, they would roll on the ground to cover themselves in dust or dirt, or they would sit, and it talks about they would cover themselves in ash. There were practices such as shaving of the head or shaving of their beard, and some would even cut themselves over their body. But however, these extreme practices were condemned for being associated with pagan rituals, but they did happen. And so I'm trying to paint a picture here that when they were in mourning, it was a deep grief. It was not just, "I feel sad." It was not just, "I feel lost," but it was almost a uncontrollable grief. And like I said, they would cover their face. They would cover themselves in dirt. Mourners were also known not to bathe during a certain length of time and not to use any type of perfumes or incense during that time of mourning. Sometimes they would also fast. They would do without food for a set amount of time as part of the mourning process. And much like our custom of funerals today, friends and neighbors would bring food to the families that had suffered a loss. But it was important to note that the food could not be prepared in the house of the deceased, because under the Old Testament law, that would render it unclean. Death rendered the home unclean, and priests could even make themselves unclean by participating in these rites, with the exception of close blood relatives. So it was a very serious nature. It was something very serious that was going on when they were mourning the loss of someone. And at the graveside, lamentations would be made to express sorrow for the dead, much like how we would have a graveside service in our culture today, and people would talk about memories of the ones that we have lost. While mourning in the Old Testament is associated mostly with the death of a person, mourning rituals of this nature could also take place to express a brokenness for sin, sorrow for a nation that was suffering, or for a great disaster that affected a group of people. So if you go back and you read about the children of Israel in the wilderness and the times that they suffered, it talks about their leaders and their people doing these same things, that they would just tear their clothes, they would roll around in the dirt, they would cover themselves with ash in this type of grief, in this ceremony of mourning. But despite the ritualistic nature of these customs, it seems much like a ritual, they were not intended as worship of the dead. These were not cult practices. This was not something of pagan worship that they took and added to themselves, but it was the best way that the people knew to represent a deep grief and sorrow that comes from losing someone. And if you've ever experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever experienced that grief where you just feel like, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to cry. I don't know whether to shut myself off from everybody else. I don't know what to do. And so that's where this came from. This was all they could do to express their grief. And it showed everyone how much of a value was placed on someone that would be missed, or how much value was placed on a nation that had been led astray, or a group of people that had been enslaved by their enemies. So mourning was just, it was more than a mood or a feeling of sorrow. It was more than an emotional reaction, but it was a deliberate outward expression of grief. A deepward outward expression of grief. Again, I will say it like this. They had no idea what to do. It was they crying out to God of just, I don't know where to go from here. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to go on. Has anyone ever felt that way? I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. I've been praying. I've been doing everything right, but it just seems like I cannot do anything but just mourn. I can't do anything but just mourn. And moving into the New Testament, they still grieved and they still mourned over the death of the loved one. But the difference is in the New Testament is they mourned with a sense of hope. And that's what I want to get to today, is that today when we mourn with hope. You see, this is why that no matter what we are going through in the moment, we know that our season of mourning will not last forever. Eventually, you're going to enter into a season of dancing. In the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, the mourning process was always for a set amount of time. Mourning was never meant to be permanent. You even go back and read the story of David, where due to his sin, he lost his child. Go back and read that story, and it says that he mourned and that he was distraught over it. But then it also says that his servants and his household was shocked when he got up and basically said, "What is done, it's time to move on." Yes, it was terrible what had happened. Yes, it was my fault what had happened. Yes, it is a great loss, but my period of mourning is over. But to fully understand what it takes to turn mourning into dancing, we must look at what dancing in the Bible represented. You see, dancing in the Bible was an expression of worship. Here in our Western culture and many other cultures throughout time, dancing has been a recreational activity or something that you did for fun. But during the time of the Israelites and in the Old Testament, they would use this as a celebration. Dancing was a worship for something great that had happened. Much like mourning, just on the opposite end of the spectrum, dancing was not something to be taken lightly. It had a reason for them doing it. It had a purpose for what they were doing. If you look at these times when the Israelites crossed over and Pharaoh's men were drowned in the sea, it says the women went out with tambourines and danced. When God delivered them from their enemies, it says that they took out the tambourines and they danced in celebration. When David slew Goliath, there was dancing in the streets because we have been set free. The captor was dead. The captives have been set free. When David brought back the Ark of the Covenant, it says that he danced before the Lord with all his might. It says that he danced so much, his wife basically told him he was crazy. He said, but you don't understand, the Ark is coming back. This is a cause for celebration. When the prodigal son came back home, it says in the distance there was music and dancing. There was a celebration happening when a lost one had come home. So the mourning rites that were practiced were for a temporary amount of time, but mourning was never a permanent state. That is something that we must remember, that as Christians, we would love to live in a state of permanent dancing. It's human nature. Laughing is a lot more fun than crying. I would much rather be happy than sad. We would much rather live in peace than in conflict. But the reality is that our life, even one with Christ at the center of it, it will never be perfect. We were never promised an easy life. We were never promised a perfect life. We must accept that seasons of mourning are a part of life. Death and disease will happen because we are living in a fallen creation. We are human bodies. We were not made to live forever here on this earth. Financial difficulties will come. Times of uncertainty will come. You will be hurt and people will abandon you. That is the harsh reality of living in a fallen creation filled with imperfect people. I wish that it wasn't that way. I wish that we never had to be sad. I wish that we never had to go through trials in our life. But I heard it put best is that even though the rain and the sun fall, we grow the same. We need the rain. We need the sun. We need seasons of mourning. But through our mourning, I've come to tell you today is that dancing is on the way. Because we have hope that our mourning will eventually lead to dancing because we have victory in Jesus. In fact, I would encourage you today, these next scriptures, either write them down, take out your phone, put them in your notes, post them around your house, whatever. But I want to tell you today, these three verses that I'm about to put are a reminder that we have victory. The first in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 58. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not vain. Don't abandon God yet. Don't give up hope yet. Maybe you've been praying for a while. Maybe you've been battling an addiction or sin, but guess what? There is freedom in Jesus Christ. That's what this verse is talking about, is that sin had a stronghold on me. Sin had power over me through the law, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, my labor has been, I have been set free. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. So if that's what you were going through today, just know that there is freedom in Christ. If that is your mourning today, is that you are facing sins or just something in your life, there is freedom. But we move on to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, but those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Here in this verse, the ones who are asleep is talking about believers who have passed on. Just as someone who is asleep expects to rise in the morning, one day those who have gone on before us will rise to meet us in heaven. Paul was speaking to the church of the Thessalonians who were mourning for those who had passed, and he was trying to get them to understand that, yes, it is normal to be sad of those who have passed. It is okay to go through the grieving process of those who have passed or those that are suffering in a physical nature. But we also can celebrate because we know that no matter what happens here on earth, one day we will see them again in heaven. We have nothing to fear. We should not even fear death because heaven is our reward. Disease has no hold on us. Death has no hold on us because our reward is not here but in heaven. I can have comfort even through my sorrow. I can have dancing even in a time of mourning because I know that me and my fellow believers will have a glorious resurrection one day. And finally, Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So notice the progression of these three verses. We do not have to continue mourning over our past sin because we have been forgiven. We do not have to continue to mourn over those gone before us because one day we will see them again. And we do not have to mourn over grief or pain or suffering because one day we can be free from that as well. So even though our period of mourning may last longer than we want, one day there will be no mourning. There will be only dancing. So I want to encourage you today to have hope. I want to encourage you today that yes, you may be in a season of mourning, but your season of dancing is on the way. But that's not it, because there's one final point that I want to make. And I believe this is the most important for where we are at today. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. You see, that's the body of the church. That's the beauty of the church, and that's why belonging to a body of believers is so important. Because some of us may be going through a season of mourning right now while others are going through a season of dancing. But we are a family. So guess what? When you're mourning, I'm mourning. When you're rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. The great thing about belonging to a church like this is when you need a shoulder to cry on, we're here. If you're going through a period of mourning and you just need to cry today, guess what? I'll cry with you. If you're going through a season of dancing and you need to rejoice today, I'll rejoice with you. Because that's where we are at today, is that neither one of those states is permanent. But I feel like telling somebody today, don't be ashamed of your mourning. That's part of the process. just because it feels like you're in a season of mourning and it seems like everything else you're looking at, well, this person's having their prayer answered and this person's getting all their questions answered and everything's going perfect for them. What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. Mourning is just a part of the process. Mourning is just something you have to go through. It's not fun and we don't like it, but we know it's not permanent. So I want to encourage you today, whenever we come up here, whenever we have our altar call, if you are in mourning today, don't feel like you have to start dancing. Don't feel like, oh, well, I just can't express it. No, go find you somebody to pray with. Go find you somebody that's rejoicing and say, hey, I'm really going through it right now. Can I just hold on and cry for a bit? That's perfectly okay. Because I may be going through I may be on top of the world. I may be dancing all over the place. And guess what? I can be an encourager to you. Because one day, I've been there. I've been in a spirit of mourning. I've been in a spirit of mourning where I didn't know how the bills were going to get paid. I've been in the spirit of mourning where I've lost a job. I've been in the spirit of mourning where I would come to church and just feel like, God, I don't know what to do. God, I feel like I'm praying. I feel like I'm fasting. I feel like I'm doing all the right things, but I just have no answers. I've been there. You're not alone. That's nothing to feel ashamed about. That's part of it. And there's been times where it's been the opposite. There's been times where I felt like life couldn't get any better. Seemed like everything I prayed for happened. It seemed like everything that happened was great. Getting a raise on my job, everything's perfect. So you know what I do in those times? I go find somebody in a spirit of mourning and I encourage them and say, hey, you were there when I was mourning. You were my shoulder to cry on when I was going through it. Guess what, brother? I'm here for you. Guess what, sister? I'm here for you because we're in this thing together. You don't have to go through that alone. So I will say, if you are mourning today, that is perfectly fine. If you're in a spirit of mourning today, that is perfectly okay. If you're in a dancing spirit today, guess what? That's perfectly fine too. We can have people sit in the same service, hear the same music and the same preaching, but go through entirely different things. Because God knows what we need to hear. God knew what state you were in before you showed up. God knew if you were in a season of mourning or not. You see, we're really good at putting on the face if we have everything together. I talked about in my teaching Wednesday about some of the dangers of social media. You see, social media is a highlight reel. We only put the good stuff on social media. When I get a raise on my job, I'm going to post about it. And I'm going to put hashtag blessed. Get a new car, I'm going to hashtag favor ain't fair. Right? We like to celebrate that stuff. And if you're not careful, you can get caught up in that because you may be in a spirit of mourning. It's just like, this person's got it all together. Seems like everybody around me is just being blessed. They're getting all this stuff. They're doing all those things. Look, quit comparing your season with everybody else's. If you don't get anything else today, quit comparing your season that you are in to everybody else. We are a body. We mourn together. We rejoice together. And if I could go ahead and have the praise team come back up here today, if we could all stand. This is something that I feel so led to do. Because like I said, there is no shame in saying, hey, I'm in a season of mourning. There's absolutely no shame in saying, you know what, I need prayer today because I'm just going through it. Nobody's going to look at you like, oh, I wonder what they've done. Why do they need prayer? Why are they in a season of mourning? Because I can tell you, in my times of mourning, there was times where Me and my family would go through seasons of mourning, and nobody else knew what we were going through. But I can tell you what got me through that is praying at an altar and some good brother or some good sister just coming up, not having a clue what was going on in our life, but just laying a hand on me and saying, hey, it's going to be all right. Hey, it's going to be okay. You can make it through this. This is just a season. It's just a season, but guess what? You can make it through. I would encourage you today, if you are really just going through it, I'm talking about you feel like I don't have the answers, I don't know what else to do, I'm at a loss, there is no questioning I'm in a season of mourning. If you want help with that today, just raise your hand. There's no shame in it. If you are going through something today and you can honestly say, you know what? I am in a season of mourning. Keep those hands up as we go through this altar call, because what I want us to do, because we're a family. Those of you that are in a season of dancing, I want you to go find somebody in a season of mourning and start praying for them and start encouraging them and saying, you know what? This is just a season, but God sees the answers. I know you don't have the answers. I know you're going through this, but God is here because God took me out of my season of mourning. God did it for me and he can do it for you. So as they get ready to sing, these altars are open. If you feel led to go pray for somebody, it's totally in order. If you feel like going and encouraging somebody, if you feel like just sitting in your chair and crying, that is okay too. But I've come to encourage you today, it's just a season. Don't give up on God yet. Your season of dancing could literally be tomorrow. Your season of dancing could literally be right around the corner. Don't give up today. As somebody who's been through it, I can honestly say it does get better. I can honestly say that mourning does not last forever. Mourning does turn into dancing.